last message I'd ever preach this morning. This would be it right here, what I want to share with you this morning. In talking to people in our community in the past 2 weeks, I could think of about five people that I've had conversations of recently lost loved ones. And if there's one thing that I could sit them down and get them to actually listen to, I've learned over the years that people in that situation don't hear really anything that you say anyway. So there's really not much sense in talking to them at that time because they're going through grief and that's the only thing that they're thinking of. But if there's a message I wanted them to hear, it would be what I'm going to share with you this morning. I actually got this idea. I thought this would be a great gospel tract that I'm going to maybe work on. I don't know. I get some ideas sometimes and never am able to find time or the ability to follow through on them. But I want to speak to you on a very maybe surprising subject. Maybe it'll get your attention. I don't know. This thing, I think I'm dead. My finger doesn't, this thing doesn't respond to my finger sometimes. All religions are good. Well, preacher, what are you talking about? I got to turn this on, don't I? And then I can get away from this. Now, can you hear me better? Can you hear me now? I'm technologically challenged, technically challenged, too. History proves that all religions are good. Some of you are shaking your head, no. I see that. But I want to show you something. And I believe with all my heart that what I'm saying in this statement is true. Every religion is good. Now, you're going to see, you might be scratching your head. I just encourage you, don't throw things at me, but jot some things down here that I want to share with you. Because it's all going to come into focus after the end, if you let me live to the end of the message, all right? Some of you folks are, what? I can't believe it. Pastor's gone senile. Well, that's I didn't have to go far, but I've been there a long time. But all religions are good. And I want to give you a number of statements. The first one, again, I think I need to lick it and it sticks, and it works, is dry skin. All religions are good which teach men to be good. You gotta get that down. All religions are good which teach men to be good. You see, whether we want to admit it or not, religion, no matter where you go in the world, everywhere you go, people have got some sort of religion. And that religion is what teaches them right from wrong. If there's no religion, there's no right and there's no wrong. And by the way, that's what some folks want in America, to get rid of a religion in America. And you find countries that have tried to do that, it's never worked to begin with, and then it's just simply destroyed the country. All religions are good, which teach men to be good. And by the way, I will say this, with biblical Christianity, well, bless God, I'm a Christian. If you can't be good as a Christian, I suggest maybe you find a new religion. Huh? In fact, one of the realities, one of the fruit of the Spirit is kindness, love, charity. Those things are a natural byproduct of Christianity. And all religions, there's got to be some good in every religion, otherwise they would have no followers. Even the religion of Mohammedism, or Muslim, we usually call it today, there's some good in it. And you say, well, I don't agree with their good. Well, that's neither here nor there. If they teach you to be good, and Christianity, by far, if you are honest enough to study history, you find out that just looking around our community, our civilization today, and you see many hospitals named after saints, after, again, not our brand of Christianity. It's just interesting, you don't see many hospitals named after Muhammad, do you? But there is some good. In that they're teaching morality. All religions are good that teach men to be good. Secondly, I want to give you these things to mull over a little bit. Religion makes for strong families and communities. Religion makes for strong families and communities. Religion is the foundation of morality. And let me tell you, it doesn't matter what religion it is. It's the foundation for morality. America today has lost its sense of morality because we're trying to get God out of everything in our public. And by the way, we've lost our sense of morality, and government can't fix that. Doesn't matter if we're talking about Democrat, Republican, Independent, government cannot fix the immorality in America. Education cannot fix the immorality in America. New laws will never bring us back to God. What do we outlaw abortion? I got a better idea. Let's get back to teaching abstinence until marriage. That would eliminate the need for abortion. What do we close down all the bars? I got a better idea. Let's teach people that they don't need the demonic alcohol. All they need is Jesus. Then the bars would close themselves down. But religion is the strength. It's the foundation of morality. Everybody you talk to, and you talk to any school teacher, they'll tell you, well, the school can only do so much. It all starts where? You've heard it, in the home. And if there's no religion in the home, and again, it doesn't matter what religion it is. All religions are good. If there's religion in the home, there's morality in the home. There's a foundation for families. But if we take religion out, there's no foundation anymore. There's no sense of morality anymore. And the third statement is this. Religion can, now this may shock some of you, religion can transform your life, can make you a better person. Now, I'm not talking about just Bible Christianity. I'm talking about any religion. I've known many people that I've seen amazing, miraculous transformations in their life because of their religion. We say, well, they must have got saved. No, it had nothing to do with salvation. It just had to do with religion. I've seen drunkards become sober. I've seen abusers become kind, generous people. I've seen outlaws become in-laws. No, that's the family I married into. No, I'm just kidding. But religion can do that. Many lives have been transformed by religion. Now, I'm just being honest, okay? Someone said, wait a minute. I thought, well, we'll get to that in a little bit, okay? Hold your head on, all right? The next thing, religion has... I'm sorry, I skipped one. I was going to read the next one. Religion makes you at peace with God and others. Religion makes you at peace with God. Notice the G and God is small because it doesn't matter which God you choose. You can be at peace with that God and have perfect calmness in your life. It's amazing today how Christians of all people sometimes are the most anxious, the most fearful people I know. The most insecure people I know sometimes are supposedly Bible-believing Christians. I think that's one of the great sins in modern Christianity today, is our lack of peace. And our lack of not only peace with God, but peace with others. The fussing and fighting that goes on between Bible-believing Christians. But I'm talking about just religion in general. No matter what God you choose or what God you create, you can be at peace with that God through following your religion. Well, preacher, are we going to have to find a new pastor while you're gone or what? Some of you are giving me that look. You'll see here in a little bit, all right? Hang with me. The next thing, religion has miraculous healing power. Religion has miraculous healing power. I've literally sat by the bedside of someone who's dying. And they have perfect peace and perfect calmness because they're trusting Mother Mary to get them to heaven. And you probably have too. Religion has the power to do it. I've sat by the bedside of folks that have no religion. Well, their religion is themselves. Their religion is the God of nature. They worship trees and bugs and spiders and cockroaches and everything else. And they're at perfect peace with that God. And they're laying on their deathbed. And you can't convince them otherwise. They're at perfect peace and calmness. They're facing battles that would rattle anybody's cage. And yet they had that perfect peace and calmness because of their religion. And then one other thing, and I want to give you an illustration here in a minute. Religion gives comfort during difficult days and even death. I got ahead of myself a little bit there. But the foundation for the supernatural. Sometimes you hear doctors say that in fact, I know a number of doctors that will say this. I'm backing up because I got these in reverse order in my mind here, what was written down there. Religion has healing powers. Oftentimes, doctors will say the most important part in battling sickness is not our treatments, not whatever we can do or getting the sickness soon enough or being faithful to your... It's oftentimes just the simple attitude. Whether you're praying to God, whether you're praying to Allah, whether you're praying to your couch, whether you're praying to your big toe, it doesn't matter. As long as you believe you're going to make it through, there's a tremendous healing power in that science cannot, that medical professionals cannot explain. Now, we attribute that to prayer, but what about somebody who's not saved? What about somebody that, you know, worships a rock out there somewhere? It has that healing power. Now, think of this for a minute. Now, just be honest and think this through, okay? Let me give you an illustration. Say that I stole this from my wife when she witnesses to people. Sometimes she uses this illustration, which is kind of silly, but sometimes she'll do it in teaching a lesson. What do you say? I want a word. Let's pick a God. Let's say I'm going to worship a doorknob. That's kind of a funny thing to worship, isn't it? I'm going to worship that doorknob. And if I do everything that doorknob tells me to do, and if that doorknob tells me to be a good person, you know, open the door for some people and close it on that doorknob can make me a better person. If I do everything that religion of the doorknob tells me, I go to the First Baptist Church of the doorknob, all right? I go to the First Church of the open doorknob. That doorknob, I gathered the kids around and said, let's all pray and worship. Let's sing some songs of this doorknob tonight for family devotions. And we're going to raise our family around this doorknob. Brings a family together, makes a family strong. That doorknob, religion, can make my family and my community stronger. That religion of worshiping that doorknob can give me, can transform my life. You know, doorknob, I've been a bad boy today. I'm sorry and I apologize to that doorknob and that makes me a better person. Are you getting what I'm saying? It doesn't matter what religion, any religion you choose, that religion can make me at peace with God and others. You know, I ought to do unto others. I ought to open the door for others because they're going to want to open the door for me. I'm going to be at peace with that doorknob and with others. Whatever the God is that I've created in my own mind, I can be at perfect peace with that God and perfect peace with others. That religion of the doorknob can cause miracles to happen. And miraculous healing powers in my life. You know, I was sick, but I just, the doctor said I've got cancer, but I just believe that doorknob's going to carry me through. And I believe with all my heart, I'm putting all my faith in that doorknob. And that positive attitude will help me get through sickness. And by the way, any doctor will tell you that. We say, well, religion will give me comfort in difficult days. I'm going through a hard time, or I'm going through the valley of the shadow of death, and I'm just going to trust that doorknob. It's led me safe thus far, and I can be at perfect calmness, even though I'm completely off my rocker, or off my hinges, as the case may be. I can have all these things because of religion. You get what I'm saying here? But there's something else. There's two things that stand higher than any other religion. One of them you're holding in your lap right now. It's different than anything else. Different than the religion of the doorknob or the religion of Allah or Confucius or Joseph Smith or whatever. Two things that stand out different? First of all, the Bible is different than any other book. This book, called the Bible, is different than any other book on the face of this earth. How is this book different? Let me show you how this book is different. And we could go on for a lot of things here. Let me say, both these things we're going to talk about are alive. This book is a living book. This book is alive. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. This book is and the other thing we're going to talk about is a person. One is an object and one is a person, but both of them are alive. This book, first of all, is different than any other book because of its divine inspiration and preservation. This book was written the last of it was written about 2,000 years ago. And it has survived over 2,000 years, even though all the world is bent on destroying this book. It survived the hatred of its enemies, and someone wisely said, and the ignorance of its friends. The people that claim to believe the Bible, that don't live the Bible, or think that it's no big deal if we change the Bible. But this book is a miraculous book. God not only wrote this book, as the Bible says, holy men of old spake as they were moved, born along, literally given the words to say. And God not only wrote this book, but God has preserved it so we can hold it in our hand today and know this is the Word of God. What God said to Moses as recorded in Exodus is still the same as when God spoke it to Moses. God's preserved it. You try to find any other book that's not only been written by God, but been preserved by God. I like to read old books. I'm going to recommend an old book today written by a preacher a couple 150 or so years ago. The difficulty is finding one that isn't changed too much from what he said. Because people's languages change and people update things, but God's Word still is the same. God's Word has never changed. This book is different in that it was inspired and preserved by God. This book is different because, now this is an amazing thing. If you compare the Bible to any other religious book, whether we're talking about the Book of Mormon, the Quran, or any other writings that are supposed to be sacred writings, none of the other so-called sacred writings ever talk about the origin of man. They only assume that man has always been. And they never tell us where man came from. The Bible makes it very clear. In the beginning, God created. I have a God that's able to create us. And by the way, if your God's not able to create you, neither can He save you. Hello? If your God's not able to save you, I'd suggest you get a different God. But this is a unique book that it talks about in the history and science in the Bible cannot be legitimately questioned by those who are honestly willing to look at all science. You know, sometimes we see things in science, well, I don't agree with that, well, let's chuck that out. That doesn't say what I want it to say, and a lot of fools are doing that today. And by the way, on both sides of the argument, in evolution and creation. Let me just say something. I believe God created. I don't know how He did it. I don't have to understand how He did it. There's some things in this world that make me scratch my head, I love to... we're talking about being over ocean. You know, the problem I have being around water is I can't stay out of it. I want to put my snorkeling mask on and go down underwater whenever I see it. I just want to be in it. And I'm just amazed at the things that you can see underwater. And if nothing else, it shows you the creative power and the humor of God's creation. What you can see that God has done. This world is just amazing. And I don't understand why this is a certain way. Why did God create mosquitoes? Huh? I like to smash every one of them. But we'd be in a heap of trouble without them, believe it or not. Each thing is... But I digress. I don't want to do that this morning. But this book tells us of origin. We say, well, science has proved that there is no God. Science has proved... Science didn't prove anything. Men have chosen certain things to discredit God and try. They picked a religion that says that there is no God, and they call that science. But there's nothing in true science or nothing in true. I like to study history. I was going to give you a whole big thing about history today, but I don't want to do that because some of you are already bored. Some folks put their head down and close their eyes before the preaching even starts. Right? Everybody looks to see as soon as I say that. You know who that is, but. No, Rex, it's not Linda, okay? don't let that be a distraction to you, all right? Praise the Lord. Maybe someday God will work in their heart and they'll get saved. Amen? And that's what we need to be praying for. It's interesting to me that the evolutionists today don't want you to hear two sides of the story. If I have two conflicting viewpoints and I only want to hear one, there's something wrong with that mentality, right? And if I were to represent to you on one side evolution and the other side a God that created all things, and if I were to fairly represent both of them and let you choose, I can guarantee you every single person with an ounce of brain in their head would choose that there's a God that created all this stuff. Nobody in their right mind, unless they've been brainwashed and the truth has been hidden from them long enough, then they would choose the religion of evolution that there is no God. I could just take you in the woods and show there's no way this stuff could have just happened. It's impossible. It's scientifically proven that it could not have just happened, but we just ignore that part. The Bible tells us where everything originated, and if we accept the Bible, we're going to have to accept the rest of the message. There's where the problem comes in. Man doesn't want to accept the rest of the message of God. So I want to go on because I didn't want to spend that much time there. The Bible is different than any book that it tells. It's written of divine inspiration and preservation. It tells of origins, where things came, where the world came from, where the universe came from, where man came from, and because of fulfilled prophecy. The Bible is different than any other religious book because of fulfilled. Biblical prophecy is always 100% accurate. No question about it. We say, well, how can you believe that Jesus is coming again? Because that's just a small part of biblical prophecy. People much smarter than me and have spent much more time studying this than I have concluded that 2/3 of the prophecy found in the Bible has been perfectly fulfilled. No question about it. In fact, some of it's been so thoroughly and perfectly fulfilled, many folks have said, well, they could have told about that centuries ahead of time. Somebody has to write that and insert it later. But then they found manuscripts that go back almost to the time of the original writings and found out they were right. They've tried their best to discredit the prophecy of the Bible with no success. I don't have to worry about the prophecy to come because everything that God's prophesied so far is. Now, compare that to any modern prophet. If they get 1 out of 100 guesses right, we think, boy, they must have some special gift. God says if they get 1 out of 1 million, if they get one thing, they say one thing's going to happen and it doesn't come to true, they're a false prophet, they ought to be executed. Boy, that would get rid of a lot of folks today, wouldn't it? Hello? Think of modern astrologers. Oh, the stars tell me this. The stars told you nothing. Hello? You might as well be eating fortune cookies. That's not going to tell you anything. Well, they guess this right, and they go back and some other soothsayer or political prognosticator. Boy, this guy gets in, he's going to do this. And by the way, don't believe that junk. Hello? Well, this politician, if he gets elected, what's going to happen? God knows what's going to happen. And what about the weather forecasters? You know, they're telling us we're going to have global warming, that we're all going to die in 1 million years. I got news for you. We're long gone before 1 million years are here. Global warming, the climate's changing. Now, these come from the same people that can't tell you if it's going to be snowy or sunshiny next week. But they can tell you what it's going to be 100 years down the road. Hello? And we put our faith in that kind of foolishness. There's only one prophecy that I put my faith in. That's this book right here. This book is different than any other book. Because of its divine inspiration, its divine preservation, because it tells of origin, because of fulfilled prophecy. Now, I gave you a number of things already. That religion that teaches men to be good is a good religion. Religion makes strong families and communities. Religion can transform life. Religion can make you at peace with God. But religion in general doesn't have this book that we call the Bible. And more importantly than that, all the good things that religion can do, no religion can get you to heaven. And that is the most important message. Only Jesus can get you to heaven. You know, a person could trust that doorknob to get them to heaven, but they're not going to make it. A person can trust their good works to get them to heaven. Somebody that I've gotten to know pretty well in our community, they're still not saved. I've been working on it for years. And they lost a loved one last week. And he was almost in tears again when I was talking to him again about somebody who was a family related to him that passed away. And he was going on about, this guy never did anybody no harm. This guy was such a good person. And he was just, you know, piling on. And the more emotionally got, the more involved. Without Jesus, there's no hope. No matter how good they are, and no matter how sincere and devout they were in their religion, they may have been a good person. I have no doubt that they were. I have no doubt that they were a good family man, a good husband, a good father, a good grandfather. They weren't abusive, and they were a good person in every sense of the word. They had religion. But that religion can't get you to heaven. Only Jesus can do that. Look at the warnings that God gives us. We read in Matthew chapter number 19, Jesus beheld them and said unto them, as they talked about, and by the way, this man didn't go away sorrowing because he was rich. You know, someone would say, well, I'm thankful I'm not rich. Let me give you a clue here. If you live in America today, you are rich. The poorest people in America are wealthy compared to most people in our world today. Compared to most people in history, the poorest people in America. I know that we live in a day where we think that we deserve this and that, and we're so, you know, we're born doing this and we're doing that our entire life, especially in our culture today. But you don't go to hell because you're rich. This man didn't go away sorrowing because he was rich, but that he was trusting in his riches or his goodness to get him to heaven. And Jesus said to this man, and he went away sorrowing, it doesn't matter how good you are, you think you kept the whole law, you think you're a good person, in your eyes you're a great person, and in the world's eyes you're a great person, but being a great person is going to get you to heaven. And his disciples were scratching their head, and he went away and said, well, Master, we don't understand. What are you saying here? And Jesus made it very clear in verse number 26 of Matthew 19. And Jesus beheld and looked at his disciples and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Jesus gave the warning in Matthew chapter number 7. We read those verses earlier too. Matthew 7 verse 15 through 23. Let me just read verse number 22 and 23. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils. In thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I, Jesus said, not Peter, Jesus, I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You see, without Jesus, it doesn't matter what religion, that religion will make you live a happier life on this earth. That religion will give you a better family. It'll make you a better citizen in your community. It'll give you a hope, but it won't get you to heaven. Amen? Only Jesus can do that. God makes it very clear in John chapter number 14, Jesus left out any shadow of a doubt. He said in John 14, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Well, if you're good enough, you can go too. A religion can make you a good person, but religion can't get you to heaven. Only Jesus can do that. And there's a thing that somehow we have a disconnect there in our culture today. And just like sometimes folks have been going to this church all the time, sometimes God's got to remind me that, religion can make a good community. I wish everybody in our community was religious. Huh? That'd make us a much better community. That makes much safer community and much better homes in our community if everybody had a good dose of religion. But the problem is that religion can't get them to heaven. In fact, I've found this from experience, both for myself and reaching out to family members, because I was brought up in a pretty religious background, religious home, so to speak. Sometimes the hardest people to admit that they're sinners, get to admit that they're sinners, are religious folks. Because we're good people. God had to work on me for almost 3 years before I realized I'm a sinner in need of salvation. And my religion can't get me to heaven. My religion can make me a better person. My religion can help me and my family, but my religion can't get me to heaven. Only Jesus can do that. The Apostle Peter, by the way, it wasn't Pope Peter. The Apostle Peter said in Acts chapter number 4, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You know, while we were singing that song a little bit ago, I've got to digress once in a while here, if you don't mind. When we were singing that song a little while ago, Jesus save, no, save, 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 Jesus save. I saw some kids kind of mocking. And my mind went back to the day when I came to a Baptist church for the first time. And they had in the front of the pulpit a sign, just like a cross, just like this. And it said Jesus across there, and it said saves right down there. And I looked at that and I laughed. Now, here's a religious person. I grew up in church. And they start singing about salvation. I thought, that's a silly word. Who needs to be saved? And I heard the preacher say that you need to be saved, that you need to be born again. And I thought, I've been to church all my life, and I've never heard anybody say that. And he said, the Bible talks about being saved. And I said, that's silly. I've read the Bible before. I don't remember seeing saved. Well, I wasn't reading very good. And then when one day God smote me and told me I was a sinner, condemned, and on my way to hell, and I got saved. And I realized, see, in fact, that song, Saved, Saved. Remember when we have favorites once in a while on Sunday night? We had favorites the first Sunday after I was saved, just a few weeks after I was saved. They had a favorite song Sunday night, and I raised my hand. And folks looked at me because they kind of knew that I was religious, but I wasn't saved. They didn't know, fully understand. And I remember, well, he's Pastor Swanson now, was the song leader. And he pointed to me and said, what's your favorite song? And it was that song, Saved, Saved, Saved. And he almost asked me to come up and lead it because it was written in such a high key, nobody could sing it except for the sopranos. So the rest of us listened to him sing it. Why don't you come up here and lead that song? But I, all of a sudden, I loved to sing about being saved. Because I was saved. Amen? And for the first time, I went home and started reading the Bible and talked about being saved. Wow, I've never seen that before. Salvation is something that's real. And salvation no longer was a joke to me, something that was real. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be what? Saved. You must be saved or you're going to die and spend eternity. It doesn't matter how much religion you have. It doesn't matter how good you are. If you're not saved, you'll never make it to heaven. But I'm a good person. But I've got religion. The best thing I ever did in my life was to trade religion for salvation. Amen? I just discarded my religion and came to Jesus and Him alone for salvation. One other passage, I was going to have you turn to these passages of Scripture. At least I put them up here. You can see in Revelation chapter number 1, Jesus speaking to John on the island of Patmos, he said, and by the way, this was after Jesus was crucified, after the crowd that wagged their head and mocked him and laughed at him as he was crucified, they saw him raise himself from the dead and proved himself with many infallible proofs. And by the way, there's no better evidence, there's nothing else in history from that era that is proven more definitively than the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the grave. We have more evidence to that than that Caesar ever sat on the throne. Hello? There's evidence, there's no question. No honest historian would ever question the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. And Jesus, after his resurrection, said these words, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of hell and death." Amen. That's good, isn't it? Jesus is the only one that, and by the way, when I stand before the gates of heaven, I'm going to see Jesus. In fact, I'm going to go right through those gates and stand before the very throne of Jesus one day. There's not going to be St. Peter. There's not going to be Grandma. There's not going to be the angels. And everything. I'm going to see Jesus when I get there. The Bible makes that very clear. He has the keys. He's the one that determines, that allows folks in or locks people. That's what keys do. They open doors. They close doors. And the only salvation we have is through the person of Jesus Christ. It's not through religion. It's not through being a good person. And we need to understand that today, that religion is good, that it shows us right from wrong. Religion gives us faithful, good families. But by the way, Jesus can do all that plus more. He can get you to heaven. And that is the most important thing in all eternity. Where will you spend eternity? Only Jesus can get you to heaven. Religion can do all those other great things, but it can't get you to heaven. Only the Bible is our source of truth that tells us the way of salvation. Without Him, without this book that He's given to us, we have no accurate record. Of what it is to be saved. You say, well, where would we be without the Bible? Well, you look at the modern Christian, the historic Christianity today. That's where we'd be without the Bible. But we have the Bible. Hello? You look at the Catholic Church, the Protestant Church, all the other different churches. They forsook the Bible and they got themselves in a mess. And by the way, we forsake the Bible, we're going to get ourselves in a mess. There's no hope outside in eternity outside of the Bible and outside of the person of Jesus Christ. Religion can do a lot of great things, but it can't get you to heaven. Religion can do a lot of good things, very positive things concerning this life, but only Jesus can get you to heaven. And I'm thankful that I know Jesus. I can sing those songs that Jesus saves. Jesus saves. There is no salvation outside of Jesus Christ. You may say, well, I know so, and I hear this all the time. Well, so-and-so, they're part of, you name the religion, and they're a good person. Well, I have no doubt about that. Religion makes good people, but it doesn't make saved people. And there's the difference. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior today? I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet, if you will.